Guys, Reliant here. It is close to another full moon, and you know what that means. I get to speak to an amazing guest you are already familiar with, who's going to tell us about this full moon and its influences on us and what to expect. You get to meet her right after this.
Welcome to Conversations with Roland, where the goal of this show is to learn life secrets through diverse experiences. I am your host, Roland Achenjang.
Guys, welcome to another episode of Conversations with Roland. As always, I am super excited to record these conversations, and today is no different. Today with me is a regular on Conversations with Roland to talk to us about this full moon. I'm speaking about none other than my very good friend, Wendy Wright. Wendy, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing great, Roland. Thank you for having me, and how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm excited. As always, I'm to record these conversations, you know, and here we are today recording one about on the full moon happening later this month. I believe it's the 22nd. I always 20th. Mess up those dates. Yeah, full actually is the 20th. You're right. Mm-hmm. Wednesday, October 20th. And, you know, excited to hear what you have to say. And then, of course, we share stories. It's a good time. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So what's been going on with you? Do you have a story or
just start insights? With? I always have so many. You know, the one of the insights with me and this one really is picking up on the discussion we had before we started recording, and some of the words that you said are resonating with you with regards to this full moon, right? Venus's wisdom, full moon, and the throat chakra with vibration. You mentioned, and I don't mean to, you know, steal your thunder here, but vibration, yeah. Wisdom, Venus in and of itself. And then there was one more word, feeling. I believe it was feeling. Mm-hmm. But the vibration piece was a nice reminder that, you know, of the chakra that we're working with this moon cycle. And one way it has actually hit me is just this morning. This is something I've told you I've done many times, and today I did it again, where very early in the morning I was trying to help my daughter fall asleep, and I decided to do what I always do, which is get into a meditative state and then sing to her. But it's not real singing. It's not like a nursery rhyme. It's basically what I would call channeling sound, aka vibration, mm-hmm. that calms her down and then helps her fall asleep. And it's never like the same sound or song two times in a row. And I found it fascinating because it not only calms her down, it also calms me down. And mm-hmm. here's a really, really deep realization too with this, is that many times if I say, Ira, I need you to fall asleep, right? You can see that it's actually me causing the lack of easiness. It's like, I need you to fall asleep so I can do this. And then, right? I need you to fall asleep so I can edit a podcast, so I can type up something for C2 Keep, for instance. But this morning when I was holding her and chanting, I was actually calming myself down, like trying to say, it's okay. You don't need to work on whatever it is now. Just spend this time with your daughter. And I kid you not, I did the, sorry, this background noise. So I got family visiting. That's another exciting thing about today. Pleasant surprise. But anyway, I do the chanting. It calms her down and it calms me down, and we both fell asleep.
And yay!
It's funny. And then my wife comes in, she sees us sleeping, it takes a picture because it's so cute. I have to share that picture with you. But okay. That's one random story that just happened this morning before this recording. Yeah. With vibration.
Well, and I think it's really interesting, Roland, that you fell asleep. That whatever it was that you wanted to get done didn't matter.
Nope.
You know? Like, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. But yeah. I also think that, you know, that example is a great example of projecting your agenda on Ira.
There you go. That was huge for me.
Yeah.
One. And then the second thing was, you know, as you mentioned, the work didn't get done because we took like a 1.5 hour nap this morning together. Has to do with the subconscious work that we're doing during this time of the year, mm-hmm. right? During this third quarter moon week
yes.
of the yearly moon cycle. And so if you think about it, being asleep and kind of, which by the way, I had some very amazing dreams in just that 1.5 hour, like very amazing dreams. And you can see like my subconscious is still working, right? Working, cleaning up, reintegrating, new learnings, etc. And so that, right, that speaks right to where we are, which is slow down a little bit and work on your subconscious healing. I thought that was cool. Yeah.
Yeah. So what you're referencing there is on the level of the year, this moon cycle is after the fall equinox, and right after the fall equinox is what we call it the reorientation kind of period of the year, where you're taking all the emotional belief from that you developed during the year, and it's being incorporated into your consciousness. So this moon cycle, you know, Venus is the influence of this moon cycle, and wisdom is the virtue. And when you go through that reorientation, that's what's very much happening, is there's a huge amount of wisdom, because emotional belief is wisdom. That's what it is. Because, you know, we can have intellectual understanding, and that's more knowledge and intellect. But wisdom really comes from that emotional, deep experience that builds belief in something. And so this moon cycle has, you know, multiple things going on, which all of them do. But with it being that part of the year, and also, you know, Venus has this huge influence on emotional belief being incorporated into your consciousness. So,
yeah.
You know, we all have kind of already connotations and associations with Venus being love mm-hmm. and affection and acceptance. But I don't think we go to that point of understanding the huge wisdom that's also a part of that.
I want to ask you this, and I'm prefacing this based off of background information that I know, which has to do with the experience you had when you and I were talking, you know, earlier this week. Where can this wisdom, which is tied to solidifying your beliefs based off of that visceral experience that you have, can it show up physically within your, you know, your physical world and the relationships that you're having? Is that one way for it to be, you know, presented to you so that you can get this huge new realization about an ability that you have, or ways, quote unquote, the universe can communicate with you?
Yes. Yes, totally. That's what happens. It's like this beautiful dance that's always going on. And Mercury is very much about the link between mind and spirit. Okay. Which was the last moon cycle. And so it's this dance of having kind of extraordinary spiritual experiences. And then, you know, how does our mind reason that? How does that, you know, how do we explain that? How do we understand that? And it's like the experiences are constantly tweaking our mind to be more open and to be more accepting of, you know, that they're not extraordinary, that they are just a part of our everyday life. We just categorize them. We've been kind of conditioned that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And those categories.
So is that what you were talking about? You know?
Yeah, essentially. Yeah. Uh-huh. And, you know, I was also trying to mention when we were talking, you were able to see my aura. And I would imagine, mm-hmm. right, that was a huge consciousness expansion experience for you, as this is a new ability that I have that I may have never experienced in the way that I did. But of course, it's possible, right? Of course, it's something that anyone can experience as a way to, right, interface with this intelligence and expand your consciousness. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, wherever we are, in my book, I call it the level of awareness of our connection to consciousness. Mm-hmm. If we realize that we are way more connected, then, you know, coincidences and supernatural things aren't anymore, right? They're just, I get why this works. And you can kind of link those together. Yeah. Let's pivot a little bit.
And to add, go ahead. So I want to add one more thing. We've also talked about agreements. You know, everything's in agreement. Mm-hmm. And so like when you talk about level of awareness, we keep going to different, we keep having different agreements with that. You know, like we go to the next step and we're like, okay, now I agree to this. Okay, now I agree to that. But what in one of the books I'm reading, it's asking to go beyond the agreement and go to assumption and claim things.
Oh, that's like manifesting 101, right?
Right.
Well, at least.
But do you see how, yeah. isn't it interesting how we do that, but we don't truly bring our awareness to the whole thing? And then it's like, okay, well, if I just get past the agreement and just assume that it's happening, you know, in the moment, like it just opens the whole thing up in such a different way.
Yeah. And please don't be cynical with your assumptions. And it's not like an assumption against somebody that you think is doing right. something vile against you or something like that. But no, I appreciate that, right? Because If you know yourself to be at a certain level of consciousness and you're aware that there is more to it, more to, you know, consciousness that you can expand into and realize, then yes, I can see how if you have an experience and you think, okay, it's the universe communicating with you or it's your higher self or it's supposed to happen, that kind of thing. And then you stop and you try to rationalize it back into something more tangible. I think that's mm-hmm. what you're talking to is like, no, don't stop and come back and rationalize it. Hold on to that hugely expansive, almost inexplicable experience that your mind can't explain. And then just say, yeah, it's part of my spiritual experience. It's normal. And go from there.
Yes, exactly. Exactly, Roland. That's exactly what it is.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, hey, let's focus on those words. I know you, right? You didn't pick those words for no reason. The four words that are, you know, resonating with you with this Venus's full moon happening on Wednesday.
Yeah. Okay. So the four words really are Venus, wisdom, vibration, and then it's kind of feeling. The divine. And those things are completely integrated or connected. They all have a relationship to each other. So if you look at the word vibration, has to do with the radiance, okay, of yourself. You know, we have energy that flows, but we also have a vibration that's more of a radiance. And vibration is also associated with our throat chakra because that's how we communicate. That's how we build a sound is through vibration within our voice box and, you know, how that all comes together. So we have a vibration that is our essence, but then we also create vibration that is communicative with other people. So one of the limitations that we usually hold in mind is that the only way to communicate with people is usually through the voice vibration or like body language. But on a much larger level, we are constantly communicating with each other through our vibration. Like without any words, without any, physical signs or symbols, just merging vibrationally with another person is like the ultimate communication. And so this moon cycle is very much about how we expand that and how we learn and we experience these larger vibrational capacities that we have.
Neat. Yeah. I can see that. I don't mean to just agree. So it's very interesting with our conversations, right? Because many times when you say something like this, it makes sense to me. And then it brings me back to many experiences that I've had that kind of says, oh, mm-hmm. this was a time when, that happened. So distant energy healing is one way in which I employ this a lot, where, your essence is basically merging with another person's to help them like heal. Now, you're not the one doing the healing. I want to say that you're just helping. It's like bringing two bodies of water together, a hot and a cold. Mm-hmm. Vibration is going to change them. But I forget which book I read that talked about this, how the person or the part of the book I was reading was describing someone who had a near-death experience and what they were seeing in the spirit world. And the excitement with which the spirit of that person rejoined with another spirit. And they said they got together and just were this kind of vibration that was just mixing with each other. And when I was reading it, I pictured it as a tornado, just two energy mm-hmm. fields turning and twirling. And that's kind of the way I forget the book. I wish I could share it. But that's kind of the way the book described what that experience was like. And actually, I think it's Michael Newton's Journey of Souls, where mm-hmm. the person under hypnosis was describing merging back after a previous life with a member of your soul tribe or your twin flame, whatever name you want to call it, and what that experience was like. And they said, oh, just give me it. I remember Michael Newton actually asking the person a question to describe it. And they're like, nah, just give me a minute. I need to enjoy this, right? And mm-hmm. it wasn't a verbal communication, like you say. It wasn't... even many times when people have NDEs or SDEs, they talk about, oh, I got this information. It wasn't verbal. It's just a knowing. But this, it sounded like it was very vibrational, all right? So that's how I feel when I hear what you described. Yeah. And then another way is, like when you come across, and this happens, and it's not a bad thing, but you may come across somebody or someone walks beside you and you could just feel their essence, right? It's either something you resonate with or something you just can't stand. And you may question like, why can't I stand? Or someone walks in the room and you think, I know this person, that kind of feeling. I think it speaks to that, right? Where you're carrying this energy field around you all the time.
Yeah.
You don't even
know. Or the best, example that I always use is when you walk into a restaurant, because in a restaurant, you have the atmosphere to begin with of the environment, but then you have all the people, you have such a conglomeration of people in the restaurant that there's a certain vibration that's been merged with all of that going on. And like when I walk into a restaurant, it's like I immediately feel, oh, this is great. I want to eat here. Or I'm like, oh no. There's the vibration isn't right or something. And mm-hmm. I just have to, I'll just be like, no, this isn't right. But opening that capacity, like you're talking about, like all those things you just shared, is so huge with this moon cycle, like to just embrace that and not dumb it down or, you know, suppress it or deny it. It's like, that is really how, like on a larger level, the communication within consciousness and how it works that way.
Yeah.
It's all this fluid vibrational interfacing and engagement and everything.
Yeah. I do want to ask you this. It's not just with humans, right? It's my experience that everything's vibrating. Like my pen is vibrating and, you know, it kind of also speaks, here's a cool thing. So this week I started teaching meditation to kids, 3, 4, and 5-year-olds. And I find it fascinating. But the teacher asked me about which crystals to use to curb bad behavior for her kids, right? And I'm laughing like that. But what came to mind, I was like, you know, in my mind, I've not studied crystals, but my instant intuition was it really doesn't matter which crystal. What the crystal is doing is resonating the vibration that the crystal is surrounded by, essentially. And so if you, like when people do crystal healing, if you're resonating love into that crystal, right, it's structured in such a way that it becomes an antenna, not an antenna or a transmitter. And it's basically amplifying that vibration. So that's what I told her. I was like, hey. But then in that same light, it doesn't even have to be a crystal, even though you could say a crystal is a better amplifier, okay. It could be anything. It could be a bottle of water. It could be just your intention. You could walking and touch every chair in that room that a child is going to sit in and share that vibration. And if you are of a higher vibration as well, like you say, if you walk into a space that you feel like I'm not supposed to be here because of the collective vibration of that space, if you have a higher vibration, you're going to shift it. You're going to shift it. And so anyway.
Well, I think that's interesting with the teacher because, like, I think she could do at the beginning of a day where she sinks the vibration of the room. So when the kids come in, she can sync the vibration of that child with the rest of the room.
Yeah.
And that, and I actually do that at the beginning of my workshops. And I do it through the infinite loop. That's like the rhythm of everyone with vibration. Mm-hmm. And so if you get, that would be a great experiment, wouldn't it? To start a classroom with kids that way and see how the whole day goes.
Yeah. No, it would.
Yeah.
It would. Now, do you want to touch on the other words, the wisdom, the feeling?
Okay. Yes. So vibration is all about wisdom. And it's the wisdom when you like tap into vibration, when you start to use it, when you start to incorporate it, like walking into a restaurant and saying, wow, this doesn't feel right. That is wisdom. And then making a discerning like decision, you're being wise because you're basing it on more than just your intellect.
Yeah.
And so when you do that process, what you're doing is you're actually opening yourself up to the experience and knowing of the divine, because that is all the same thing. Your feelings, your vibration, and like the divine within you. So that's when you say, okay, you know, experiencing the divine in someone else or something is when you merge with it vibrationally, is what's happening.
Yeah. Beautiful.
And you can feel that.
Yeah. That's it speaks to a very deep understanding of the metaphor, you know, walking a mile in their shoes, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I have to share this. I have a friend. It's actually one of my business partners who needed surgery on his foot, and he's in a cast right now and he can't walk and he's using crutches. And it's been, you know, a new way to experience life, right, with crutches, something he hasn't done. And it's been limiting as well. But it's also been very expansive, because the other day I was talking to him and he goes, man, next time I see someone with crutches, I'm going to be very appreciative of what they're going through, right? I was like, that's huge, huge realization, a huge divine lesson, right? In terms of that wisdom, you're knowing through personal experience. And many times that's what ends up happening for most people on the planet. But the cool thing is, as a human, you can learn by proxy, right? So I can see that experience and go, okay, I better just appreciate everybody with crutches so that I don't have to get up and end up in a place where I'm using crutches too, right? And so
I think that's a really great example, and I'm glad you shared that, because that what you just said about, okay, I'm just going to learn that so I don't have to actually experience it. You know, like,
yeah.
Like yeah. There's so learn many by things proxy. You could do that with. Yes, yes. so bad. But obviously your friend needs to learn by crutches. And I had crutches not too long ago too. So I totally understand.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing. With crutches, you just feel awkward. It's like you got two more legs and it's just awkward.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, the gracefulness of yourself is just like thrown out the window.
Temporarily.
Yes.
Okay. So with this, we've talked about the throat chakra, right? The throat chakra is what, and you, I really like the way you explained it last time, and you're building on that with this conversation, focusing on the fact that there's vibration associated with it. And the geometric shape, this is when the full moon, we usually touch on it. And I know where we are right now, the three shapes that we focus on, the circle, the line, and
spiral.
Spiral. There you go. Mm-hmm. I was going to say a squiggly line.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so this moon cycle is very much a straight line. And so it's more about sequential. That's kind of the pattern of dynamic to the moon cycle. And what that does is it gives it a more linear feel to it. And rather than a circle that comes back around and folds on top of each other, or a spiral where it goes in or it goes out, so this is very much a consecutive kind of opening of our capacity. And it has a different feel to it. And when you bring that more linear idea or concept to what we've already talked about, it's about how that capacity opens up within us is very much more linear. Like it just keeps opening, it just keeps going rather than the circle or the spiral that happens with it.
Okay. And then the third quarter moon week, so this, right, this is going to start, if I look at my trusty calendar here, October 28th. What can
28th.
We expect?
Yeah. Okay. Well, do you want to do the week after the full moon first?
Sure. The full moon week.
Okay.
Thank you for that.
So let's talk about the self-expression that goes along with the full moon is very much, you know, it's about being extremely open with your vibration, and that wisdom is what's happening during the full moon. And so at that time of the full moon, you are open, and you are also able to very much experience and know the divine within yourself with that vibration and with the dynamics of this moon cycle. So in the week after the full moon, with all of that being open, you're going to have the opportunities to demonstrate that, or you're going to be presented with you know, situations or events that, you know, are opportunities to do it, but also kind of push you in that direction. So a lot of times during that week, you know, we things come out of our mouth that we're like, wow, I can't believe I said that. Or, you know, different things happen where, wow, I can't believe I chose that, you know. And that's really why, because we've opened this deeper capacity for the divine within ourselves. And then we're bringing that in through relationship. So when we get to the third quarter, during that full moon week, we build emotional belief, which means that we build a deeper belief about ourselves when we actually are having those experiences with other people, and we're using this new self-expression. And so at the third, at that third quarter moon, we take all of that and we incorporate it back into our consciousness. And so when we're incorporating the divine within ourselves in our consciousness, it very much changes aspects of our construct. And how we relate to the world, because that is such a deeper, profound aspect of ourself. So it changes a lot of things. So I would say the third quarter week of this moon cycle is going to be a little more intense or unsettling or disorienting, or just having that feeling like you don't fit in your skin quite right. Like everything's just a little tweaked in a way.
Yeah. And I sound like a broken record. Great time to meditate.
Yes. Yes. It is a great time to meditate.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. No, thank you for those explanations, Wendy. I really do enjoy, you know, listening to how you describe each one of those weeks within a full moon cycle, mm-hmm. starting with the first conversation we had with the full moon, how you described the new moon week, the first quarter moon week, and then from the full moon and third quarter. And I think as we do this mm-hmm. more, again, for listeners who are joining us right now or in the future, they're going to hear this more and say, oh, okay, it's beginning to make sense. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's taking me go ahead.
It's really the same pattern. Mm-hmm. We just have a different theme that's opening up with each moon cycle.
Yeah.
So when you put all the moon cycles together in the year, we've opened all the different capacities of ourselves or aspects of ourselves.
Yeah.
Throughout the whole 12 moon cycles.
Yeah.
And that's what spiritual growth is.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're right at the end here. Wendy, as always, I mean, thank you so much for your insight. It's always fun to connect, whether we're recording or not.
Well, thank you, Roland. This is just awesome. I always love to hear your stories, and we kind of, you know, feed off of each other or whatever in our experiences. So it's always fun. Thank you.
You're welcome. And that is true. Yeah. So yeah, guys, please connect with my friend Wendy. She's at meweandus.org. I will have links to her website in the notes section of this podcast or below this YouTube video if you're watching it on YouTube. And then with me, you can connect with me, roland@chenjiang.com. And yeah, as always, I invite you to create an amazing day. Thank you, Wendy.
Thank you, Roland. See you later.